Good morning. Oh, a response. That's great. That's how you start, speaking on a Sunday morning and getting a response for your family. Great. Okay, so before I get into my word, I thought I'll give you a wee progress report, a tiny, you know why, about my role in the church. I've been started in January, we're now into May, which is crazy. And the progress is that it has been a wild, crazy adventure. I have been meeting with different people, wee hearts for the broch that want to pray. I've been meeting with people for prayer, if I need prayer. Connecting with different prayer initiatives on a local level and a national level for Scotland as well. The Lord has been opening doors as well to go and like share in different places and encourage. So even though you didn't see very much of what I'm doing, I'm actually working. I'm working with the Lord. I have been joining with people in this room to pray and seek the Lord through different situations that we as a church face. Because we are aware of different things that are happening in the natural, in your lives and in the spiritual. And we've been joining in serious prayer, seeking the Lord, because we can. It's Him that changes your life. It's Him that changes atmospheres and brings His kingdom into your life. So there is a lot going on when I'm working. It's like when people ask me, like, oh, so what do you do? What's your role? I'm like, I pray. And I do. That's what I do. I pray and I seek the Lord. There is practical things that come out with that as well. Like I'm naturally inclined on the computer and creative stuff. So the Lord uses that alongside as well, so that there's different things happening. There is a new website that is created for us. If you haven't already looked at it, you can look at it if you want. That's part of what. So it has been crazy because I have faced a lot of things personally this year, actually. And God has used it to restructure, realign, and deliver. I have walked through a deliverance this year. So it has been crazy, but it's been glorious. Crazy glorious, okay? So God is good. That's life for us sometimes as Christians, though. It's crazy glorious. And my peer mom has been along for the ride. She's living the crazy glorious as well. So bless her. Pray for her. Invite her out for tea and supper and stuff. She needs it more than me. She needs encouragement. And she's very much in this battle as well. So I'm just recognizing her anew because I love her. So what's my progress report? That's what's been happening anew with my work. And just a little announcement as well. So for me, one of the life verses that I've got for my life, one piece of scripture that the Lord always takes me back to, is in Luke 10. And it's Mary and Martha. Hands up if you've ever read the story of Mary and Martha. Right, Martha's really busy and so. And I'll just read it. It's, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparation that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Jesus replied, Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. And I always get pulled back to this, and this is my mandate. Indeed, only one. Like, what kind of statement is that to be making about the kingdom of God? Only one thing is needed. I'm sure, like me, you guys could mark a list of things if I asked, what do we need to be doing to build the kingdom of God in our own lives and other people's lives? And we could list all these things, like help the needy, pray for the sick. Like, I would be like, oh, we need to make a prayer initiative. We can do prayer work and we can do prayer breakfast, prayer movements. Like, if I can put the word prayer in front of it, I'll do it. So we're always coming up with these things. But here Jesus is saying something absolutely profound. There's one thing that we need, and it's Him. And it's coming before Him. It's cultivating our intimacy with Him. And this scripture always takes me back to this. Intimacy before duty. Everything that we do, everything that we decide to start, or it starts in that place. It's like we need to be woman we hearts that are on fire, we passion, but we need to be, you need to be men in this room that are ferocious. You need that fiery, passionate love in your heart as well. And it's a ferocious fire that he's called you in. And it all starts in that one place, that one thing, cultivating a relationship with God. So that's where my heart is with this thing that I'm going to start once a month. We're going to see how it goes on the 31st of May. From 10 o'clock till 12 noon, Daniel's Den will be open for anybody that just wants to come and sit in the space. It will be set up for people just to sit and we soak in music on or be instrumental prayer music on. You can use the coffee table. If you want to sit and hear coffee with the Lord, hear coffee with the Lord. You want to read your Bible, read your Bible. It is a space for you to come, for there's no distraction, and you can be still if you want. You can just simply be, because all Christ wants you to do is come and be with him. And it's my favorite place in the world. Not Daniel's Den, but the feet of Jesus. And that's for it's a boot. It's called One Thing. I just gave it a name. It's in the bulletin if you want to remember the date and the time. So there could be two of us, there could be 12, and I can. But it's open, and you didn't have to bide for the 2 hours. If you've got half an hour at your lunchtime, you want to sit somewhere and just say, Jesus, speak to me. It's one of the best things you could ever do. The best and most dangerous things you could do is sit and say, Jesus, speak to me. So it's going to be an open space for you to use. Any questions about that, you can grab me at the end. You can message me through the week. My number is somewhere. Oh, it's actually on this leaflet that I've made. So it's about Daniel's Den. It's about how it started. It's the practicals, though, how you can use it in amongst other things. I've made a few of them. They will be at the back. I could be at the back or I could be floating about some way. But there is a pile of these for you to take a while or read or forever. And if we need more, I can mark more. So that's that little plug done. Done. Finished. Okay. So are we excited this morning? Are we full of the joy? Well, you will be by the end. Because God is good like that. He's so good. And I listen to this song, and it's, Christine DeMarco, her name is. And the song is, Could You Be This Good? And every day I just put a tone, and I thought, could you be this good that I just walk to you when you take me into my deliverance? Could you be this good that I just come to you and my day just gets better like that? Well, yes, because he's God, and he's that good. And it's that simple, and we overcomplicate things a lot. Well, I do. I'm an overthinker. And the Lord is slowly just taking my back out of place. Do not overthink everything. Take my word and just like, could you be that good? And the answer is yes. So I'm not even on my notes yet, and I'm deviating. I'm like, oh, no. I get excited because I'm never sure if it's going to come out my moo. And I was praying last night in and the Lord gave me Isaiah 55, and it was, I have put my words in your mouth and covered you with the shadow of my hand. I was like, well, it's your words that come out. So the title of the day is, Have Courage, Do Not Be Afraid or Terrified, God is with you, he will never leave you. And it's funny because he gave me this message on a day that I was actually facing a lot of confusion. I didn't really care if it was going in my brain, and I just got in a place. See, when you fear tries to attack you, and it almost shuts you down, and I was like, I really didn't care if it's going on today. And God gave me this message in the midst of it. So I'm like, praise the Lord. I didn't even care I was going to be sharing it until last week. So the verse you want to look up in your Bibles is Deuteronomy 31. It's right before Joshua, and it's verse 7 and 8. That I'm going to read for you. Deuteronomy 31, verse 7 and 8. I've always got to repeat that because I'm one of the people that will sit in a congregation and go, if it's that, if it was a number. So Deuteronomy 31, 7 and 8. This is where we are. Then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the presence of all Israel, be strong and courageous, for you must go with this people into the land that the Lord swore to their ancestors to give them. And you must divide it among them as their inheritance. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Well, hallelujah. We're about to go into something that he swore our ancestors. It's good news, folks. We're going somewhere that is good and full of the Lord's joy. We're now on a journey into the wilderness. We're on a way out. Praise Jesus. It's good news this morning. So this is Moses speaking to Joshua. Now, Joshua had worked under Moses since they came. They were delivered out of Egypt, and then they wandered the wilderness for 40 years with Canaan. And that entire time, Joshua, you read this in different scriptures, Joshua worked under Moses as Moses was being face-to-face with the Lord in the tent of meeting and then delivering the messages to the Israelites. Joshua was working under him. He was his little prodigy, okay? So the time has come. Joshua was all, and he knew that his time was coming to an end. And this was fun. He was saying this to Joshua. He was on the cusp of something. They were about to move into something new, and he delivered this message to Joshua. Now, Joshua had grown as a person this entire 40 years. He'd been learning about the Lord. If he was spending time with Moses, he'd been learning about the presence of God. But Joshua carried something else. You see, from the 12, when they came out of Egypt, God was ready to put them into the promised land then. And he sent 12 spies in to see the land. Joshua was one of them. And him and Caleb were the only two that came back with a good report. The rest of the spies came back with a bad report. We made everybody despair. And they wouldn't go in and take the land. And the Lord says, right, you're not going into the land. Joshua had been in the very place that God had promised them. And I think for about 40 years, Joshua, he had seen the promise. I think that was planted in him at that point. I think he was ready his whole life to walk in the faith that God had given him. That day, him and Caleb come back and saying, they were not looking at the size of the giants. They were ready to talk that land because God had said, this is a land. He had gained faithfully at 40 years, but he'd seen the promise. And when God lets you as an individual see something, it's not to torture you, it's because you're going to walk into that. Okay? That's his promise for your life, the things that you carry. I'll find for a man new. We're grown and matured. Yeah, 40 years. He was ready. Are you ready to walk into the promise? Have you been like Joshua this year and you've seen something? Maybe 30 years ago you were in a different church, or maybe you were, well, you couldn't have been here 30 years ago, but you were somewhere with the Lord, and you had seen this promise. You'd seen the Holy Spirit move like you'd never seen it before. But I don't care if it happened, if there was a crowd of multitudes that had despaired or they had split or something. You've walked through something, but you've carried that for this amount of time. Well, now is the time. Now is the time to start walking out in that, because God says it's time. It's time to grab on to the promise and the courage that God has given you today. It's time for us to step into the victory. So, Joshua was 40 when he spied on the land, and he must have been about 85, I think, roughly, when Moses was about to die. Moses was 120 years old when he said these verses to Joshua, okay? And he was about to pass away. He knew it was his time. It was sad times. Moses was going to want to die. And it's sad when things pass away, when all things go. But sometimes it's right. And it can be hard to let go of all things that we've clung to, whether it's all hurts, all mindsets, all things, how we think things are going to work out in our life. But sometimes it's right, and it's time for them to die. There are things that we are carrying in our life this morning, and it's time to put them to rest. And it's a good thing. I mean, it's sad when something dies and moves on. But sometimes it's right. Sometimes the Lord's just saying, no, it's time to give me that. For are you holding on, Al? Like, is that thing's time just to lay it down to rest? And as sad as it was for Moses to die, it meant one thing for the children of Israel. Because God had said that a whole generation had to die off before they could step into the promised land. And that included Moses. The Lord had told Moses, I'll let you see the land, but you wanna set foot in it. So yes, Joshua would have mourned Moses, but he would have known that now is the time the Lord's going to release us into something new. So it was this sweet presence with the Lord where it was like, now this is going. And it's like, oh, can I live without it? If the Lord's asking you to lay something down, can you live without it? Of course you can, because you're going to live with him. It's time to think about these things that it's like, if I'm going to get let go, he's saying, for this, I'll stuff. Just lay it down. Just come to him. Because this is an experiential thing this morning. I'm not just relaying words out here. The Lord has his desire to speak to you this morning and to come to him. And I've written down here, don't let the old things of your past keep you out of the promise God has for your future. Okay? And as always, I'll be praying at the end. And this is one of the things. I'm like, let's just come to God with this all stuff, or all hurts, things going on with our God stuff. Come to the Lord. Joshua was ready for this very moment in history. He was born for this very moment. And God knew it. He knew that Joshua was going to want to step into something new, step into his calling, step into his destiny, because he was born for it. And God knew this well. He understood it, knew well that he had Moses speak to him these very verses that were going to carry him through everything that he had to do. Because when we come to significant times in our lives as individuals and a church, and face significant tasks as leaders, as worshipers, as mothers, as fathers, as just family people, when we come to significant times, God knows. He knows these times more intimately well than you will ever can. He's near oblivious to what we're going through or facing, whether it's physical pain, a mental battle, or persecution. Whatever it is that you are facing right now as opposition, he cares. Because when you're on the cusp of something, sometimes these things come at you, okay? But he cares when you're on the cusp of something and you're going to want to dive into something new. He cares. He's with us. And he says this, the first part of that verse, he says, have courage. Because when you're on the cusp of something new, the Lord is aware that it's near a walk in the park. When Joshua stepped up and he was going to want to attack the promised land, it wasn't a walk in the park. He actually had to go and mobilize his army. He had to walk into the land and defeat different kings and kingdoms. There were battles. There were stuff that he had to go and do, practically. Life is now walking the park. These moments and times that we're walking through, yes, they're glorious, but they're crazy. And it's Lord Cain's that it's not a walk in the park. He Cain's, and he says, have courage. Do you need courage this morning? Because God has got, He has got courage for you this morning. In every issue, in every facet, and again, if it's just your thought life that you are dealing with right now, God says, have courage, and he cares exactly what you are going through. The next thing he says to Joshua in this verse that we read is, do not be afraid or terrified by them. So not only does he say, have courage, because he knows what we're going through, he knows what we are up against. He kent when Joshua and the children went into the land that they would face things. They would face an enemy, okay? We all face things in life, but we also face an enemy. Think about the things in your life. The thing that we face is an enemy. Nay, the people around us, the people that we deal life with, your brothers and sisters in here, your family, there might be conflict going on anew with your family or friends or people, and you're just getting frustrated with it, but they are not your enemy. It's a whole other sermon, actually, that we didn't fight against flesh and blood. We've got to get at the day. We've got to realize that we didn't fight against each other, our brothers and sisters, and here, or our family, or our boss, whatever situation is going on, that is not what you are fighting. It is a very real spiritual battle, this Christian life. And we've got to stop being afraid to start addressing things in the spirit, because it's what God teaches us in his word. Okay? Just stop getting like, oh, I better not mention the devil or angels or demons. These are real spiritual things. We do not give them glory. We glory in Christ in everything that we do. In every facet of our life, Christ gets the glory. But we've also got to be aware of the battles that we face aren't the natural. They're in the spiritual. There might be something that's like, fit is going on in my life. Like, fit is going on. I kinda seem to get through only with this that's going on. Well, guess what? There's a spiritual dimension in our lives that we've got to be aware of. And it's important that we can. It's scripture that it says, and I've got this somewhere in Corinthians, that we are aware of the enemy. Okay, it's not a game of glory, but the Lord doesn't want you ignorant. These are real things that we deal with in life. As Christians, look, I've deviated from my notes again. Oh, aye. Because the thing is, the enemy does not want you inheriting your promise. You see, he's got a strategy he's in. Your enemy does not want you walking out into your freedom today. He doesn't want you listening to God's word. He doesn't want you listening to anything the Lord has for you. The enemy wants to steal for you. It's his purpose, okay? What he actually wants, he wants you bound up. He wants you locked up, and he wants you shut up, okay? He wants you silent. He wants you bound. He wants you in fear. He doesn't want you to walk out in any of the promises that the Lord has got for you or planted in you. That is his game. And it's wise to ken your enemy before you go into a battle. I didn't doubt in my mind that Joshua didn't ken about the enemies that he was going to face in here. He maybe knew the sizes of the army. He maybe knew what they were skilled in. I didn't ken. There could have been spies out here and look what kind of ground there is. It's wise. Wise counsel is good in your life. Get around folk that are full of God's spirit and his word. When you're having a crappy week, get around these folk that can encourage you, that will give you wise counsel. Wise counsel and being aware of your enemy is good. You see, the enemy likes these Christians a certain way. He likes them lukewarm and comfy, pacified. Here you go. Here's a tablet information. Go and pacify yourself. He would love for you to remain in your seats the day and walk out untouched by the Holy Spirit. But I believe in Cain, but because of the blood of the Christ, he is the victory and the right to your life. Mark a decision right now as I'm speaking to you. Do you want God to change your situation and declare Jesus Christ's victory over it right now? I'm not going out this door until I see that victory in my life, until I get what I need for him. Because it's here laid out for you. Because Christ's here. As long as you are not posing a threat, he's not interested. So a bit of encouragement for somebody that is facing anything right now. Be of good cheer, you're doing something right. But I just need to say that if you're not facing a battle, that you're not doing something right. That just happens sometimes, okay? But be encouraged. God is here and he has a message for you. The Lord wants us aware, for we are not ignorant of his devices, his schemes. That's in 2 Corinthians 2:11, and it's speaking about our enemy there. The Lord wants us aware. And what does he want us aware of? Not only that we have an enemy, but he's a liar. He's described as the father of lies. And when I say that, I think I would remember that more often when I'm doing my wick, and I'm letting all this mind things tick over my mind. If I just stopped and said, hold on, this is lies, I would get on a lot better. But does any of us things like sound familiar? Like, you'll never get us done. You can't do this. You are not worth anything. Just give up. You look stupid. You sound stupid. You've got nothing to offer. God is not real. Or you can't trust God. Something bad will happen. These are lies. We put up with so many lies as Christians, and I'm speaking about myself as well. We're too easy just to accept the dirt that clocks in our mind. Far the Lord is saying that he cares what we're up against. And he says, do not be afraid or terrified. He has seen the beginning for the end, and he says, do not be afraid. You do not have to give in to fear. Is he saying that we wanna feel fear again? No, because we're human and it'll happen. But he is saying that we didn't have to give way to it. We didn't have to partner with it. We didn't have to allow it to dictate our day or how we handle situations. We can partner with God instead. Because my God, in fact, you can look at fear right in the eye and say, my God says. It's why scripture is so important, because it's your weapon. And you can pick it up and say, my God says. You can look at fear in the face. I love the story of Gideon and Judges 6. Let's go to Judges 6, because it's a good story. Judges, it's after Joshua. And Gideon has just been called out in a battle by the Lord. And he starts with thousands of men, but then the Lord strips it right back to 300 men. And he's going to want to attack a big army because the Lord has led him there. Okay? So I think it's the night before the battle, and God comes to Joshua, which I find comforting. Like, the night before a big event's always scary, but your dad just comes in and he says, okay, let's have a conversation. We're going to want to, like, give him a peace and get you ready for the battle. It's almost like a coach at the side of a boxing ring, okay? He's always there. And it's verse 9 to 11, okay? And this is quite funny. I rescued you from the hand of the Egyptians, and I delivered you from the hand of all your oppressors. So he's affirming him. And then encourage him and remind him of the sovereignty of his Lord and the power that he has for his life, because he's already done it. Remember the things the Lord has always done for you. If you're in the middle of something waiting for your promise, remember the testimony. Remember the testimony and hold the promise. Okay, so look at these two things. Near where you're at, but the testimony and the promise in front of you. Where was I? Sorry. I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not worship the gods of the Amorites in whose land you live, but you have not listened to me. The angel of the Lord came and sat down. Oh no. I'm on the wrong. That's not what I'm looking for. 2 seconds, excuse me. Chat amongst yourselves while I find the right verse. Oh, here we go. Right. It's in chapter 7. Verse 9. It is the night before the battle. During that night, the Lord said to Gideon, get up, go down against the camp, because I am going to give it into your hand. If you are afraid to attack, go down to the camp with your servant Pura and listen to what they are saying. And I just found that hilarious. The night before a battle, and the Lord comes to you and says, see that thing that you're scared of? Go right up to it. Right? And everything in your being is thinking about this thing that you're fear of, and you want to run the other way. And your God comes and says, see this thing that you're fear of? Gideon, go down into the camp of the enemy you're going to want to. And you're just thinking, this is bizarre. But it's encouraging because once Gideon does face our enemy, he hears the dreams that they've been hearing that the Lord has given them, and they're petrified of the God. They're petrified of the God of Israel. And then Gideon is empowered because he remembers the sovereignty of his God and says, he's got us. He's got us. So when God takes you to this place and you're like, this is my biggest fear. And he's saying, look your fear in its face. And declare how big your God is. Okay? Get scripture. Worship him. These are the two greatest things you could ever pick up as a weapon in the times that you go through. The next thing that he says in the verses is, God is with you. One of the reasons that we didn't have to be afraid is because God himself actually is with us. He hasn't just called us into this life or led us into these certain battles or places And he's like, oh, here you go. Dropped you in the middle of something and left. Okay, he doesn't see you as expendable. He's your father. He is very much with you in the things that you have got to face right now. He is the one that has gone before us and routed the enemy. He is the one who leads us into battle. He is the chief commander, the point, the one who gives you battle strategy. He is like in it with you. I remember watching this prayer video last week at the prayer meeting, and it was about Pete Gregg said, when we pray, more often than not, it's like we want Lord to airlift us out of our situation, like the battles that we're in, but really more often that he wants to parachute in and be with us during the battle. And I think there's something really empowering about that. He is like our chief commander. And I remembered, I found that I really like watching sometimes is Gladiator. Hands up if you've seen that. Gladiator film. It's a good film. You always get something good out of it, do you? We like a good champion, a good old underdog. Good old Maximus. Aurelius Decimus. And I'm thinking about this bit. And there's, he's there, him and all the slaves are in the middle of like the Colosseum. And they're what a reenact a battle, and there's these heaps of chariots and big strong warriors gonna want to come out to the gates. And the idea is that us folk are gonna come out the gates and kill all the slaves for Maximus is at, because he's been made a slave. So they can hear all the cheering and thing. And then he says to them before the gates are even open, he says, if we work together, there's more chance of us surviving. Okay? So from that point on, Maximus starts calling the shots. Instead of dispersing on their end and fear, or thinking we're the slaves, we're going to die, they start listening to Maximus. He rallies them in a circle. He directs them and fit why to run. They never leave each other's side, but they're always listening to Maximus's voice. And this is how they manage to buy together. This is how they manage to work a strategy, is by listening to the commander's voice. What are you listening to today? They are not listening to what the enemy is throwing at them. They are listening to Maximus's voice. Do you ken your commander's voice? That's why it's so important to cultivate that place of intimacy. That's why my heart is for prayer and presence, and is things like us, Daniel's den, coming in and just sitting at his feet. It's so important we cultivate that with the Lord, and so that you get to ken his voice. Do you ken his voice? Because there's plenty of voices to listen to, plenty of things to be doing in this world. But they were listening to their commander's voice. They make a formation when he gets into one. They advance when he says advance. And when he says fall back, they fall back. They know and listen to their commander's voice. He is with you in the battle. What is his voice saying to you today? What is the Spirit saying to you right now? And the last thing he says is, in these verses, is he will never leave you. See, this relationship that you have entered into with the Lord, and you have been invited into a relationship with the Lord, it's his desire that you would experience his love every time that you sit in his presence. It's his desire that you would experience his love right now. It's like, I am where I am because I've experienced the love of a Father and a Savior that just keeps changing my every day. And it's like I stand here smiling because I can, that my Father God is bathed me in love and he wants to do the same for you today. When I was praying yesterday, it was just us. Father's love that wanted to come and meet we hearts in here today and change for you are and for you are. This is an eternal relationship that you have learned, that you have entered into. He's in it for the long run. I didn't care what your past experiences are with relationships, whether it's boyfriends, girlfriends, husbands, wives, fathers, mothers. Like, our life is basically forged through a series of relationships. It's how we become the person we are. It's how relationships have gone in your life. With your chums growing up, with your teachers, how they taught you, how your parents were, how your relationships, boyfriends, girlfriends, wives were. Like, relationships shape who you are. And the prime thing that will shape where you are will be the relationship you have with the Lord. Cultivate that time with him, because it's worth it. It's like gold. And you'll become so in love with him that you just can't help but be changed. We are forged by the relationships in our life. And again, if you're used to or expect to be whacked out on, dumped at the side, or forgotten, or let down. But this relationship that he invites you in, Al, is like no other relationship in the world. He is the one constant thing in your life that will never change. He is the one constant thing that you need in your life. And I've written in massive writing here that God has got one massive desire to show you that he is nothing like any of your past experiences and relationship. And that is his heart, that he is not like only the past experiences you have in your relationship. Alison, can I get you egg on your guitar? As I'm ending, because this is the end of my message, you'll be relieved to know. I'll speak now. Stop. And we'll just go into a time of getting into the Lord's presence. And just be aware that the Lord wants to speak, or maybe he has already spoken to you. For the only thing that I've said or mentioned for here, but his presence and his heart for you is the best medicine that you'll ever encounter. It's the best thing that you can need this morning. Far are you at this morning with the Lord? Or we are this stuff that goes on. If you just close your eyes, Lord, we just thank you for your Holy Spirit, Father. We thank you that you're here. Father, I invite you to come and speak into our hearts this morning as your children. God is a raging fire, but sometimes the fire that we actually need is just like a cozy fire, like an outdoor campfire, or a fire in your house. Sometimes the Lord just wants to come alongside you. And I'm just going to open up the front for anybody that wants prayer. Whether it be some all mindsets, all stuff that you carry in your life that you want to lay down and you're saying, no, Lord, I'm ready for the new. It's okay to let go of that stuff. It's okay to let go. And sometimes it's good. Sometimes it's just right for our all stuff to go and for the Lord to come in and let you ken that he is your Heavenly Father. Maybe it's courage that you need. Courage. We all need courage. And it's a real sense that the Lord wanted to give you courage. But he just doesn't come and give you an object or something. He gives you himself. One of the messiest times in my life, I found that I could only be courageous is when the Father came and just revealed himself as a father to man. And it was then that I realized that I could have courage. I could step out into the things that he wanted me to do. Because it's a very real battle that we face. A battle with an enemy that would have you locked up, bound up without help. For Christ himself is here this morning to be your help. And it's a scary thing sometimes coming out to the front for prayer. Ken, are you, and you go, oh, there's thoughts going through your head, like, oh, people will look at me, or I don't need prayer, or I've got to nae good. But if you just need a help, say to your chum next to you, will you come out with me? Or somebody you can, will you come out with me? Don't leave here without letting the Father speak into your life. The front is open for you to come in his presence. And somebody will pray for you. We've got a great prayer team here, and we'll come alongside you, and we'll just let the Father come and do what he wants to do. So as we just sing and worship to him, feel free to come out and to meet with your Father today.